Let's take our Bible tonight, our Bibles tonight, and turn in them to the Old Testament, 1 Samuel in chapter 9. We're going to read together. I'll just ask you to follow along with me, if you would. We're going to read together verses 1 through 24, and if you'll just follow along with me as I read them out loud. The Bible says, "Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechoroth, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul his son, 'Take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses.' And he passed through Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they are come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to the servant that was with him, 'Come, and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us.' And he said unto him, 'Behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he come, show us our way that we should go.' Then said Saul to his servant, 'But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we?' And the servant answered Saul again and said, 'Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, "Come and let us go to the seer, for he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer." Then said Saul to his servant, "Well said, come, let us go." So they went into the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, "Is the seer here?" And they answered them and said, "He is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city. For there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him, before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore get you up, for about this time ye shall find him." And they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them, for to go up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, "Tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me." And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, "Behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people." Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is." And Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me into the high place, for ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and all of thy father's house?" And Saul answered and said, "Am not I a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me?" And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, "Bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee." And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, "Behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. After we pray, we'll have our special. And after our special tonight, our final service, we are privileged to have missionary Wayne Shemesh speaking for us again. He's been a blessing. Each of the speakers have and been used by the Lord, but in a great way. And let's just pray that tonight, God will have his will and way in our hearts tonight during this service. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you again for the privilege to be here. We thank you for the Word of God that we can go to for guidance, for instruction, for help, for comfort, for what we need. And God, we know that we need to hear from you tonight. We pray that your word would accomplish your purpose in each of our lives tonight, in my life, in all of our lives. God, help us to seek you about exactly what you would have us to do for the cause of worldwide missions. We pray that all the earth may know that there is a God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Start to the evening. You have your Bibles in 1 Samuel chapter number 9. Thank you, Pastor, for reading the passage. And we'll just stay there tonight. I do believe that what God would have us to look at will be found in the verses that have been read. Tonight's a kind of exciting night. Get to do our faith promise cards. And really, it's not the card, but it's the sentiment or the heart behind doing this, and you do it for the Lord, and the Lord sees that, and I'm thankful for this church. I'm thank you for the fact that you care about people in other places, that you care about reaching them. And I really believe you do, by the way. I don't think it's just a ritual. I believe in your sincerity. I have enjoyed being here this week. But you have I said it last night, but you have a great pastor. This is a great church. And the staff have just been tremendous. And I really believe God has just knitted you all together for a purpose and a plan. And under pastor's leadership, as the Holy Spirit directs and guides, I'm sure you're going to do all that God has laid out before you. And so thank you. Thank you for allowing me to just visit with you. It's been a blessing. I'm an Australian. I love Australia. I'm a passionate Australian. I believe I would die for my country. I intend one day to lay my earthly remains in the soil of that place. It's my country. But I want to say this tonight. I want to say thank you, America. I want to say thank you for this country. I want to say thank you for all that you have done in so many places around the world. Thank you for your reach. And I understand that you might say to me, well, Brother Shemesh, you know, things here have sort of deteriorated a little bit and we have concerns for our country. And I would understand that. But just as a visitor, let me just say you've been a good influence in so many ways. My country was saved in World War II because of what you did. And I just want to thank you for that. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for caring. I've never felt anything but welcomed and encouraged and blessed when I've had the chance to be here among you. So I just say that I'm glad our countries are good friends. I'm glad everywhere that you've ever been since World War II, we have been. Our country signed an agreement a little bit after World War II, and it just kind of says in a simple way, but it says, if you have a problem, we will be there for you. Your problem will be our problem. And the agreement says, if Australia has a problem, America will help you. We're your friend. And so we've labored together and we've shed blood together in fields across the world. So I'm just glad to be here. I'm planning to leave tomorrow and to go back to Thailand and get on with the work that God has called me to do. When we're done here tonight, you'll go back to your place and you'll get on with what God has asked you to do. And Lord willing, we may see each other again. But if we don't see each other again, we'll see each other again. Amen? We'll see each other again. And we'll talk about all that God did. We'll have lots of time then. And we won't be doing this. And you won't be thinking, oh, the restaurant's going to be closed. You'll be okay. You'll say, Brother Shemesh, tell me about it. I have all the time in the world. And we'll be able to do that. All right, now, we're going to look here into this chapter, number 9, and we're going to, well, here's what we're going to see tonight. We're going to see what happens when God calls a man to go to a people. And you're going to see this, and this chapter is kind of a long reading, but there's a reason for that. God goes into a lot of details here, and these details are not so much about the details, but the details are about God. This chapter is very detailed to explain to you what happens when God calls somebody to go somewhere. How does God bring that to be? And the call of God is sometimes deemed to be this mysterious thing. And there is a certain element of that. There's perhaps a certain element that is not easily explained. But God uses processes, things that happen in our life, to get us to where He wants us to go. Now, I'm going to just explain to you a little bit about me, and this will come up, I think, through the message. As an Australian, I was pastoring a church in Australia. My family over multiple generations have lived in Australia, and honestly, I really had no desire to be anywhere else. I was quite happy to be in my country. If you asked me, Brother Shemesh, what do you think about Asia, I really would not have had a clue about that at all. In fact, when I grew up, when I was a little boy, the only contact I ever had with Asia was about 20 minutes from our home. There was a little Chinese-run restaurant, and they were famous. They were famous for making chicken and prawn rolls. You say, what's a prawn? A prawn is what you call a shrimp. But I'm here tonight, not you, so they're prawn, all right? It's a chicken and a prawn roll. It's not a chicken and a shrimp roll, not at least until the next 30 minutes are done. So all I knew about Asia was that the little Chinese shop in Banyo, over the railway line, take the first right, you can't miss it. They do great chicken and prawn rolls. And so my family would occasionally drive down there, and this little Chinese man, little bald-headed Chinese man, would cook up the chicken and prawn rolls. He'd wrap them in newspaper, and you'd take them back to your car and go home, and you would eat the chicken and prawn roll with great delight. And so that's what I knew about Asia. And as I got older and I was able to drive myself, I drove myself to that little Chinese place. The same little man used to run it, and I would go in and order a chicken and prawn roll. And I even told my friends about that place. And that was as much as I knew about Asia. And I'm going to tell you at that moment, that's as much as I cared to know. That was enough. Now, people who now know me and people who knew me then cannot believe that I am where I am. I mean, they cannot believe that I live in an Asian country and I choose to be there. And I eat with those people, and we all stay in the same house. And my very best friend in the whole world is a Thai, and I love those people, and they love me. And I don't know how many times I've seen my own little DVD, but I cried again last night when I saw it. And it's just God did something in my life. And I'm going to show you what happens, how that comes to be. How God will work. Now, as we begin this journey, we're going to see God calling Saul to do a work for him. Now, this is how we know that, is in verse number 16, God tells, if you just have your Bibles open there, God tells Samuel in verse number 16 that he's going to send the man that he has chosen. And about midway through that verse, you'll notice that he says that he may save my people. And towards the latter part of the verse, because their cry is come unto me. So what is happening here, God has seen a people who are crying out for something. And God said, I'm going to respond to their cry. They need to be saved. Here is a people who need to be saved. And God didn't decide to send an angel. God decided he would send a man. So now God has made the decision in the realm of heaven. God has decided here is a people who need to be saved. And here is the man I have selected to go to that people. But the man doesn't know that he's been selected. This man is not thinking about this situation. This man is not dwelling on the fact that these people need to be saved. But God is going to work in this man, and God is going to work in a way, and God is going to lead this man to this people, because that group of people need to be saved. So God selects Saul. But Saul doesn't know he's been selected. And what will happen is God will call people. And I would say this to you tonight, God calls us all to do things for him. God calls some to leave where they are and go to another group of people who need to be saved. So what happens is Saul is in his home. He's living in the normal cultural way. It's an agricultural society. It's a farmland. And something happened that is relatively common for the day, and that is that the donkeys get out, go missing, and they need to be recovered. And so in verse number 3, and you're going to see a lot of detail here, but here's what I want you to see. I want you to see how God is maneuvering, working to get the man to the people. How God is going to reveal his call in that man's life. And so in the course of just a normality, the donkeys go missing, and Saul's father says, son, I want you to select one of the servants and go look for the donkeys. And so Saul takes one of the servants with him, it says that there in verse 3, and he goes out looking for the donkeys. So now you have Saul plus one. And that servant, who we don't know anything about and is not named, will be significant in getting Saul to the place where he will meet his call. And God is going to use the people in Saul's life in ways that Saul doesn't even understand, all to get him to realize what God wants him to do. And so they go off looking, and as you follow the journey through, you say, what is this about? It's about a man looking for lost donkeys. You say, well, Brother Hamish, you said this is about the call of God. Well, it is, but he doesn't know that yet. This was about a fella who knew nothing about Asia except chicken and prawn rolls. But God was saying, I'm going to put you and send you to a people who need to be saved, but you don't know that yet. And so as Saul is going looking for his donkeys, what you will see is that God is guiding his geography. God is directing him. Now, I believe this tonight. I believe that God leads you that way too. I don't believe tonight that you're in church by accident. I think that the hand of God has been working in your life in unseen ways, but more than that, quite often unrecognized ways, but God has been doing it. God has been leading you. When that job didn't work out, and that meant that you had to go over here, or when this thing happened that brought you to this place, in all of that was not a random series of circumstances. On the contrary, this was the working of God in your life to bring you to the place where you will meet the thing that God wants you to do. And so Saul is looking for donkeys. Verse number 4, he goes to Ephraim and the donkeys are not there. So then he goes on to the next place, Shalisha, the donkeys are not there. And then he goes on again, and finally, in verse number 5, he gets to Zuf, and the donkeys are not there. And Saul says to his servant, now Saul, this is a normal thing, but God is working. And the idea is this, Saul is here. God is going to speak to the man of God, Samuel, over here. Now Saul has already started looking for donkeys. We know that he's been doing that for 3 days. And yet God speaks to Samuel the day before he and Saul would meet. So the process has already started, but Saul doesn't know about it. God is directing. God is leading this man, and he doesn't even know what's going on. And God says to Samuel, God said the day before, he said, I'm going to send you someone tomorrow who will be the one who's going to save my people from the Philistines, and you will recognize that. And so God is going to work through the circumstances of Saul's life. Saul goes through this place and this place and this place, And I want you to see that all of this is bringing him over to where Samuel is. Do you believe this? Do you believe that God can guide you to people? Do you believe that God directs the course of your life, that you would intersect with people, and that it's not a random event, that this is the design and the purpose of God, that God intends to use you, and sometimes God intends to use them to speak to you or to be a catalyst for some event in your life that is all aimed at getting you to do something God is wanting you to do. There is nothing accidental about the Christian life. The hand of God is working in your life. God is leading, directing, guiding, and even in your nose, and even in your, well, I looked, but they weren't there, so I had to go somewhere else. Even in all of that is the hand of God directing and guiding and bringing you to a place where you will intersect the heartbeat of His will. And so Saul says, not here, it's not here, it's not here. And finally, Saul says to his servant, he says, you know what? I think we better go home, because what will happen is, verse number 5, Dad is going to be more concerned about me than the donkeys, and I really think we better get back. And all of this is to show you that Saul is not aware of what God is doing in his life. And even while I was the chicken and prawn roll guy, God was working in my life. God was directing me to something that if He would have told me back then, I would have said, no, that's not me. I'm not that kind of guy. That wouldn't be me. I'm not that person. Now, God is going to work. He's going to lead Saul. Saul's servant says to him, he said, you know, I have an idea. Verse number 6, he said, in this city, do you realize that they just happened to be somewhere where God was going to intersect him with Samuel the prophet, and he was going to meet the will of God for his life? He said, well, you know, come to think of it, Saul, in this city, there's someone who can tell us these things. And we can go to him and we can ask about the donkeys. And Saul says, well, you know, that's a good idea, but we don't have anything to give him. The custom of the day is when you go to the prophet or the seer and you're going to ask something of them, you want their advice, their counsel, their leading, their insight, you present them with some kind of gift. That's the custom of the day. And Saul says, well, you know, that was a good suggestion about going and asking him, but, well, we don't have anything because the little bit of bread and drink that we brought is all gone now, and so we don't have anything. So, but anyway, it was a good suggestion. And then the servant says, hang on, you know what? I've got a quarter of a shekel here in my pocket. We can give him that. Wasn't that coincidental? Isn't that amazing? And then Saul says, when Saul hears that, in verse number 10, Saul says, well said. That's a good idea. And can you see that God is working through all of these circumstances to get the man to the place where he will recognize the call of God on his life? See, that's why that's so detailed. That's to show you. This isn't about donkeys. This is about God working in people's lives. And through this series of circumstances, God is going to lead this man to the place where he will realize the thing that God has called him to do. Now, I want you to notice something, that when Saul does go ahead and meet Samuel, and what happens is, and again, this is just a whole series of circumstances start taking place, and the idea is for God. God is leading, and God is leading, and God is going to get Saul to hear, and just so happens where Saul ends up, Samuel's going to be there. and somebody else is going to make a suggestion. Listen, God is using the people in our life to get us to the place we need to be. And Saul is going to realize at that point that he's going to go and ask about the donkeys. But listen to what the prophet says in verse number 19. Samuel says this. He says, "You'll eat with me." Well, let's read the whole verse. Samuel answered Saul and said, verse 19, "I am the seer. I'm the one that you are looking for. Go up before me unto the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go." Now notice the next phrase, "and will tell thee all that is in thine heart." So the man of God says, the prophet of God said, "Saul, you come with me, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to tell you what's in your heart." You know, sometimes we don't know what's in our own heart. Sometimes God has to show us what's really there. And there was a time in my life where God was working in my life, and God was going to say, "Now you follow me, and I'm going to show you, what's in your heart." Mr. Chicken and Prawn Roll guy, there's something in your heart that you haven't recognized yet. And I'm going to reveal that to you. And you may be thinking, "That's not me. It's not in my heart." And God says, "That's in your heart. I'm going to show you. I've made you for this. All the leading of my life and you, in your life, has been leading to this. It's about this." And I know you think you're the chicken and prawn roll guy who doesn't really care about Asia, but I happen to know there's something else in your heart, and I'm going to reveal that to you. And God knows our heart better than we know our heart. God will make better decisions for you than you can make for yourself. God will show you things that initially you might think, "I can't do this. That isn't me. How could I do that?" And God says, "It's there. I put it there. And I'm going to reveal it to you." And so the prophet of God says, he says to Saul, he said, I'm going to show you what's in your heart." Now notice this in verse 20. "And by the way, that donkey thing, don't worry about that. They were found the other day." It was never about that. It was never about that. It was about getting a man to see and realize that he had been set aside for something. That over here, there was a people saying, crying out to God, saying, "We need to be saved. And we can't do it ourselves." And God said, "I've heard your cry. I'm going to choose somebody, and I'll send him to you." You know, our Thai people say now, I've had the opportunity we don't save anyone, but I've had the opportunity to be the one that gave them the gospel, to pray with them. I've just done that one-on-one with our people, and I have now some people around me who've come to Christ, and they will say, "Pastor, thank God you came for us. If you hadn't come, we wouldn't be saved. We wouldn't know God. Thank God you came to us." And I listen to that and I think, you know, before you knew God, God saw you. And God touched somebody who thought, "That's not in my heart." And God took that man on a journey that would bring him to the place where he would intersect the will of God, and God would place me and send me to a people who needed to be saved. Now God is working in your life like that. God is using your circumstances. God is using the occasions where the donkeys are not there. And you might feel disappointed. And you have to go somewhere else. And that didn't work out either. And you do something else and that didn't work out either. And you think, you know, what is this? Maybe I just quit. What is this? It's God. It's God. It's God working in your life. It's not accidental. It's the hand of God leading you to exactly where He would have you to be. And Saul, this is all unfolding before him. And Samuel says, Saul, I want you to come and eat with me because it just so happens that there's a feast on. There's just an awful lot of it just so happens in this chapter. There's just an awful lot of that. And just so happens there's a feast on. I want you to come. And Saul goes, and I want you to see this. Saul goes, and you get this from about verse number 22 to 24, the last part of the reading. Saul goes and he meets with Samuel at that eating place, and Samuel brings him in, and he sits him down. Now, I want you to see what happens here. He brings him in. He sits him down. And all of this is just being unfolded before Saul. And he doesn't understand what all this is about. And then Samuel, you see that there in verse number 23? Samuel says unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, which I set unto thee, set it by thee. And here's what that means. Samuel says to the cook, bring the portion that has been kept aside for Saul that I told you to keep, that was just for him, and put it in front of him. And that's what God does. You see, you have a portion as well. There's a portion that has your name on it. There's a thing that God would have you to do, and God is keeping it for you. And God is going to bring it to you. And God is going to bring you to it. And you one day will meet your portion that has been kept aside, that's for nobody else, it's only for you, and God's going to put it in front of you. And you know what God's going to say? Eat. And that's what He said here. And that portion was put right in front of Saul, and verse number 24, and it was set before him. Now get this. You know, Samuel's excited about this. He says to the cook, get the portion that's been set aside. I'll read you verse 24. And the cook took up the shoulder. You know what the shoulder represents? A work. Do you say this over here? Put your shoulder into it. You know, do the work. Get into it. And that shoulder represents a work. And God had a work. And God had a portion. And it was kept aside. And Saul's name was on it. And it wasn't for anyone else. It was his. And it gets brought out, and Samuel says, take up the shoulder and set it before Saul. This is God. Put it in front of Saul. And Samuel says, behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. Eat it. Oh, I can't do that. Eat it. But that portion is too big. Eat it. It's got your name on it. It's for you. God selected it for you. It's been waiting for you. It's yours. Eat it. And notice this. Unto this time, verse 24, hath it been kept for thee. Unto this time. God had been keeping that portion aside just for Saul. And this isn't about a piece of meat. This isn't about lost donkeys. This is about God working in a man's life to bring him to the place where he meets his portion. And God says what He would say to you tonight. Eat it. Eat it. So, Brother Shemesh, what happened to the chicken and prawn roll guy? Well, it was a series of circumstances, but God brought this portion along. And I wasn't expecting it. And He put it in front of me. And he said, this has been kept aside for you from the beginning. Eat it. And I looked at it. And I said, can I eat that? Can I do this? And God said, it's yours. It's got your name on it. It's been waiting for you. So what'd you do? I ate it. I found something that was in my heart that I didn't know was in my heart. But it really was in my heart. He knew all the time. He brought me to this. And I'm not sorry. There's a portion waiting for you. You say, I'm not going to go to Thailand. I didn't say you will. But God has something for you to do. Amen. Your life has purpose. There is holy intent in your being here. And God will use the circumstances of your life, the people you meet in the way, to bring you to the place where you will realize what you need to do for the Lord. And that portion is for nobody else. You see, if you don't eat your portion, it'll just stay in the cupboard. It's yours. So I don't know I can eat it. But I'll eat it. What is it? Eat it. It's in your heart. And God does it just that way. That's how God gets somebody to meet the thing that he would have them to do. Now, maybe this is not you. I didn't think this was me, but this is me. I realize that now. But God has something for you. And I'm simply saying to take hold of what God would have you to do and realize it wasn't accidental and do the thing God had asked you to do. It's your portion. It's what all the circumstances have been about. It's about getting you to where God would have you to be. I'm going to leave here in the morning. In fact, I'm going to leave here tonight. And I'm going to go back. And Lord willing, tomorrow morning, I'm going to fly on to another place where God has sent me. So what are you going to do? I'm going to eat. I'm going to do the thing God has asked me to do. Now, tonight, you will have an opportunity to do something God has asked you to do. You will have a chance to respond to what God has brought you to the place where he would have you to do something. And I'm simply saying we need to do the thing that God has asked us to do. If God has spoken to you about somewhere, you need to yield to that. And you need to be willing to do that thing and eat it. Do what God would have you to do.